Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to our House of Representatives call for the Republic for the United States of America. Today is Tuesday, April 2nd, 2024, just a few minutes after 6 o'clock p.m. Pacific time. Glad that you're all here tonight. Dr. Mosley is with us tonight. He's got a special thing that he is going to talk about this evening as well. But before we get started, does somebody want to open us up in prayer tonight? Well, if nobody jumps in there, I guess I will. Father, thank you for letting us come together tonight for your call in your republic. I want you to bless everybody that is on the call this evening. Glad that they're all here, and just continue to protect us with your guiding hand and giving us direction on how you want us to go. I'm going to pray this in Yeshua's name. Let it be so.
Amen.
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 All right. So before we get going here, let me go ahead and quickly do the roll. Representative Cox, are you with us tonight?
Yes, Representative Cox is here.
All right. Thank you, Representative Reed.
Representative Reed from Nebraska is here. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, sir. Representative Binder is on a trip, so he won't be with us tonight. And Representative Rockwell, myself, is present. And Representative Schmidt, are you with us tonight?
Representative David Schmidt from Wisconsin Free State is present.
All right. Thank you. And Representative Blanton, you with us tonight?
Representative Blanton from Colorado is here.
All right, thank you very much. It looks like we have five representatives tonight representing five states. And Representative Binder and Representative Schmidt have been working on some documents. I forwarded one document to y'all from Representative Binder. We'll take a little while to let you all absorb that. And David Schmidt, Representative Schmidt, sent me a document yesterday. I haven't sent that out to everybody yet. Figured I'd kind of stagger them a little bit so we don't work on things, don't too much overwhelm all at one time with the documents there. They're both good things that are written. We can definitely expand on them, but at a later time we'll go ahead and go over those when everybody's had a chance to look them over and drawing some conclusion and additions or subtractions as well. So we'll do that at a later time, as I stated in the email that I sent out. Before I let Dr. Mosley jump in there, he has some special things to talk about tonight. A little bit about the laws of life, but more about what we spoke about last session, about there being a movie made of his life story. And I watched a video that he sent me just a few days ago about that, and it's really quite interesting. So I'm going to let Dr. Mosley fill in the blanks on that as I go ahead and yield the floor to him. So you have the floor, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Can you hear me clearly?
Yeah, you're fine.
Okay, thank you. The laws of life, and as you know, we define a law of life as being an absolute divine truth that governs the consequences of our actions. Everything we do and everything that we say activates one or more laws of life, either in a positive or in a negative way. And what we're going to share tonight will involve some of these laws of life, but I've been approached over the last several weeks and months concerning the production of a movie based upon my life story, and I'm going to share with you that very briefly this evening how that came about and what's included therein. But it's primarily based upon the law that we refer to as the law of captivity, deliverance, and restoration. The law of captivity, deliverance, and restoration. So how the movie came about is that I have a booklet with my testimony in that booklet, and it's been circulating for at least 10 or more years. And there was a couple out of Kansas City that came across the testimony or the booklet on my testimony. And they confirm what has been said to me by many others, and they're in the movie production business, that this, what they had read in my testimony in book form, was a movie, and that they would like to have permission to go forward in producing the movie, which would be entitled The Judge. So what I'm going to share with you this evening is just briefly the facts that helped to develop the movie The Judge and what we hope to come therefrom. Now, going back to my background, which is important for you to have some impression of my background, is that born in Birmingham, Alabama in 1944, and in those years in Birmingham, and especially in the state of Alabama, there was strict segregation. But before getting to that point, I'm the youngest of five. My dad was a coal miner, only finished the fifth grade. My mother finished elementary school, and it was a Christian home. So during those years and growing up in Birmingham, as I said before, it was an all-segregated society. Schools were segregated, buses were segregated, even movie theaters, parks were segregated. And it was during the years of Governor George Wallace and Police Commissioner Eugene Bull Connor. So that's the scene in which I grew up. And in elementary school, I did not apply myself that well because I just wanted to be an athlete, as so many young fellows want to be. But somewhere around the fifth grade or so, my pastor, right in the middle of his sermon, I was sitting near the front of the congregation with my parents, and he pointed towards me and he said, "I see something in you." And that got my attention. It got my attention to the point that I started to apply myself in school and went on to high school and was elected president of my class and was in the Honor Society, president of the student body. And being Christian throughout, I said to myself, according to Romans 8:28, this is good. And thought in terms of that scripture that all things work together for the good for those who love God and for those who are the called according to his purpose. Then I was given the opportunity to attend college, which would mean that I was the first in my family to attend school above high school. Finished college with a Bachelor of Arts degree, and was in my first integrated experience was something I did not anticipate to happen, but I was able to go to law school, and I was able to be enrolled in an evening law school but working full-time days as a claim adjuster for Travelers Insurance Company. And again, I refer to Romans 8 and 28, that all things were working for my good. So after law school, I was blessed with an opportunity to serve as a trial attorney with the United States Justice Department and our Trust Division. Now, if you are aware of what has taken place recently with the Antitrust Division, that's the division that is bringing the lawsuit against one of the major social media providers that, of course, you would recognize the name if I were to mention. But those are the kind of cases that we handle by and through antitrust. We had opened an investigation on the National Football League, although that didn't land too long. I assume politics shut that down. But I'm just trying to give you some impression of what was involved working for the United States Justice Department Antitrust Division. I had a badge similar to the badges that the FBI agents had, which would give me ingress and egress to almost any area that I wanted to get into, cause us to be able to sit and have meaningful discussions and conversations about antitrust law with senior partners of major law firms and major corporate attorneys. So again, I'm mid-20s at this time, and I'm saying to myself again that this is good. I can't conceive of it being any better than things are going through me right now. Now, we're moving towards the theme of this movie, The Judge, and now after about a year and a half or so, I had hoped to have gotten some trial experience with the United States Justice Department. Nothing in that arena had come forth because most of the matters we handled didn't get any further than a pretrial stage or a grand jury, States. So I decided to resign from the United States Justice Department and take a position as an assistant district attorney in the state wherein I was residing at the time. And in that capacity, I did get major trial experience, trying matters as low as grand theft cases, but as high as aggravated murder cases with the death penalty specification. Doing that for about 4 years. And still saying that all was working well for me, was working good for me. I was not even aware of this law of captivity, deliverance, and restoration because all was going so well in my camp that I thought that this was the case with everyone who had applied themselves properly. So I did have a desire to go into private practice. Went into private practice, but while in private practice, I was appointed as an acting judge in the city wherein I resided. Now, an acting judge position was one where you can maintain a part-time legal practice, but yet you were able to handle certain cases for the county as a county assistant district attorney or whatever that label might be. So I'm working for the county as an assistant district attorney, but also having a limited private practice at the time. And that afforded me a comfortable lifestyle for me and my wife and my children, and I was well pleased with what I had accomplished. My family in Birmingham was very well pleased because, again, I was the first to endeavor in many of these areas that I mentioned. Now, we're moving closer to the title, the judge. So I was appointed. No, I ran for a full-time judgeship after several years in private practice. And when I went on the full-time judgeship, I was unable to maintain a private practice because that was looked upon as being a conflict of interest. So I took the position as a full-time judge. Well, I ran for the position, was elected as a full-time judge in the city wherein I resided. I had a staff of secretaries, clerks, probation officers, and all that went along with having a judicial position. But again, I wanted to maintain the lifestyle that I had come to recognize and appreciate as a private practitioner. And this is, what I'm about to share with you now is not by way of making an excuse, but it's just a fact of the situation. I was unable to discern or determine how I was going to be able to maintain the lifestyle that I had worked towards for some years and then take a lesser position salary-wise as a judge. So I made a commissioner of the city wherein I sat as judge aware of my situation and the fact that I was concerned that the court would be embarrassed by way of collectors, others snooping around based upon my financial condition. And I was looking for some ways wherein I could generate additional income and not being in violation of my judicial oath. Well, a suggestion was brought to me. And again, I want to be very careful how I share this because I don't want it to sound as though I'm making an excuse, but the bottom line is that I could have and I should have said no. I was approached with a proposition where there was a company that specialized in collection work and that the city wherein I sat as the presiding judge did not have staff or personnel to properly pursue those matters, that company would be in a position to assist in that regard, and assisting in that regard wherein the city would gain revenue and certainly not lose any revenue, that they would be willing to share a portion of their fee with me. Well, that's a kickback, and it's illegal, and I should not have entertained that at all. But nevertheless, being as so many, I thought I was an exception to the rule. We're moving even more deeply as we get into the title of the movie, The Judge. So I did accept that proposition. And about a year or so later, I came to learn that I was under investigation by the FBI and a grand jury had been impaneled. And also, and not only a federal grand jury, but a state grand jury had been established. And both of those grand jurors were functioning at the same time looking at that matter that I just mentioned to you. About a year later, I received a telephone call from a news reporter. And that reporter said to me, "Judge, I'm sorry to bring you bad news, but you've just been indicted by a federal grand jury and you still have a state grand jury pending." At this time, and having said all of my adult life and especially my professional life, life could not be any better. All of this is good. I'm a Christian. All is going well for me. And whatever is attempted to come against me, that it will not prevail. So, again, I'm thinking that this thing is going to go away. Now we're into another phase, or into the phase of the law of captivity, deliverance, and restoration. I'm now about to enter into the phase of captivity based upon the law of sowing and reaping. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever man sows, that shall he also reap. So these two laws of life now are actively involved in my life, but not on the positive side, but on the negative side of both of these laws of life. So I'm facing 132 years. Of total incarceration. Federal level, 120 years, there were 5 counts, each carrying 20 years each count. On the state level, another, the same 6 counts, but under state statutes and carrying 2 years per count, a total of 132 years. So then I find now that I'm not under the law of, I found that I am under the law of captivity. And I should clarify right now how one goes into captivity, regardless of whether it's penal captivity or substance abuse or some other form of captivity. Sin, S-I-N, will automatically come to be some form of bringing one into some form of captivity. So there I was, having been free to some extent prior to this, but I had opened the door based upon my negative activity to the law of captivity. Went through a 3-week trial in federal court in Cleveland, Ohio, wherein I was residing at the time, found guilty after the 3 weeks, and was sentenced to a federal prison in Big Spring, Texas. Had never heard of Big Spring before, and not let alone anticipating having to go to Big Spring, Texas, and be confined in a federal prison in Big Spring, Texas. When I was given a self-surrender, when I got to the front gate of this federal prison, I saw a mat, a doormat. And on that doormat was the words, Federal Bureau of Prisons, United States Justice Department. It dawned upon me that I had fallen from the highest echelon of the legal profession to the lowest, that is being an inmate in the Federal Bureau of Prisons. When I entered the federal prison, and this is in 1985, the Spirit of God, of the Lord spoke to me in that still small voice and said to me, not only had I violated man's laws, but more importantly, I had violated the laws of life. But he, by and through his spirit, was going to teach me how these laws of life function and how I could move from captivity to deliverance, even to restoration, by and through the laws of life. He was going to teach me by and through his spirit. And I was required by the Spirit of God to begin in Genesis, tracing each of these laws of life, which at the time the Lord had given me 50 laws of life to develop. I had to start in Genesis, tracing each of those laws of life throughout the Old Testament into and throughout the New Testament, establishing them as absolute before I could refer to them as a law of life. And that's what I did while in federal prison in Big Spring, Texas. Now I'm in my mid-40s, and I received mercy while in Big Spring. And mercy is a law of life. Scripture says mercy prevails over judgment. So God can use the law of mercy to override other laws of life that will come into play on a negative basis. So then, as opposed to the 10 years that I was sentenced in the federal system, I was paroled after 40 months in the federal system. But while confined in the federal system in Big Spring, Texas, I was allowed to teach the laws of life as I was developing the laws of life. And the Spirit of God, again, reminded me of the fact that I thought, referring to me, that the years I had spent in law school and the degrees I had earned in the legal profession, having passed the bar, working for the United States Justice Department, working as an assistant district attorney, and in private practice, I thought all of that was for the purpose of serving humankind by way of secular laws. But then God impressed upon me that the reason He allowed me to go through that background experience was for me to have a legal background, a legal foundation, whereas He perceived that I would better understand laws and legalism and all of that for His purpose, that is to develop and teach the laws of life. So after 40 months, and I'm going to wrap up with this in about another 5-10 minutes, and I'm cutting a lot of it out, but I'm just trying to give you an impression of what the movie is about, and all I'll share with you is going to be contained in this movie. But after 40 months in the federal system, I was paroled, but keep in mind that I had a pending state case that was still active. As I was walking out of the federal gate, there were two deputies there from the state of Ohio to pick me up to bring me back to Ohio to serve the balance of my state sentence. When I was sentenced to state prison in the state of Ohio, there were men there that had come before me when I was on the bench as a judge. Now, for all practical purposes, that was to have been a death sentence for me. But God, that same God who was with me, bound through His Spirit in the federal system, was likewise with me when I entered the state system. And those men that men thought, I would have thought, would have been my enemies, they came to be my friends. So after about 3 or 4 years now in the state sentence, keeping in mind 40 months in the federal system, now about 3 years or so in the state system, I'm still confined. The parole board in the state had taken a position that I was not eligible for parole because they considered me as having two different cases, but they all arose out of the same transactions. I came into the unit one day, and the guy said to me, "Judge, your name is on the board to go before the parole board." I said, "Well, no point. I can't conceive of that because I don't even have a matter pending before the parole board. They've already denied me." Nevertheless, I went to a hearing about 3 weeks or so after that, and the chairman of the parole board said to me that we made a mistake. You are eligible for parole, and we're going to release you in the next 3 weeks. I was released to return to Cleveland on dual parole, federal and state parole. So now I'm in the second area of that law of captivity, deliverance, and I need to back up just a little bit concerning deliverance. On the day that I was scheduled to be released in the state of Ohio, there was a prison riot, and the entire state, all the prisons in the state were locked down. There was nobody going in, nobody coming out. But to show you, when your time comes, and if God says it's time for you to be delivered, nobody can stop it. So I walked out when the entire state of Ohio was locked down by way of prisons, ingress and egress. I walked out of the state prison in Ohio and was placed on parole bind through the state parole board. Moving quickly to a close. Since that time, God has allowed me to speak before congressional committees concerning the judge, which this movie is going to be about, together with teaching the laws of life throughout state of Ohio and around the country, and very pleased to be able to share these laws of life with the Republic. Also having several TV programs. One TV program is wherein we teach the laws of life. The other TV program is wherein we have a laws of life forum where we have a panel discussion on the laws of life. And the one that interests me the most is Laws of Life Court TV. We have the only court TV program where an individual can bring a controversy and receive a decision based upon one or more laws of life. All these other court TV programs are based upon secular law. Ours is based strictly upon the laws of life, which are all Bible-based. And there's some more matters that Spirit of God has revealed that will be available to us by way of teaching these laws of life. A Laws of Life Academy, where it's people who want to learn how to teach the laws of life. A Law of Life Bible, whereas people can trace these laws of life throughout a biblical reference, and many other opportunities that are pending, including having the opportunity to speak to the public twice a month. So with that being said, Mr. Speaker, I'm open to any questions that any might have.
Well, very good. Yeah, anybody have any questions or comments for Dr. Mosley, go ahead and ask for the floor.
This is Representative Reed from Nebraska. May I have the floor?
Yes, you have the floor.
Do we have a date that this movie is finished and completed? I yield.
They are striving for, and they had mentioned that they wanted to have it available in theaters on or around my birthday. My birthday is October 8th. But I'll keep this group certainly aware of when the official release date will come to be. But they are anticipating that it will be released this year.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Well, I thought for sure this would spark a lot of comments about what's going on with you. My comment would be, we have a star among us, so you can speak to that if you'd like. Of course, it's kind of a tongue-in-cheek type of thing, because I've known Dr. Mosley probably for about, 5 or 6 years now?
At least, if not longer.
So, but anyway, thought I would say that, see if that sparks any other comments that people may have. All right.
If I may say this, Mr. Speaker.
Yes, go right ahead.
I was about to say that there's no question that you could ask that I would consider to be too personal, because I'm an open book.
Well, before we let you go for tonight, I think it's important that you give everybody how to contact you. I know we try to do that once every couple of months, but I think people may want to, you know, get your book about your life story, and that may be something that kind of a precursor to the movie coming out. So why don't you go ahead and give us that information?
You know, email address is Mosley, Mosely, justice1@aol.com. The website is justiceministriesintl.com. The ministry phone number is 866-950-5858. And we're available for speeches and for other type engagements, panel discussion, questions and answers. A lot of people are curious about the penal institutions. And I want to say this, if I may, Mr. Chairman, I'm getting a little off base, but there's so many preconceived ideas about the inmate community. Also, I failed to mention that my wife and I are certified to minister in the prisons in the state of Texas as well as in Ohio. But there's a lot to be learned about people who are confined, many of whom should be confined and should be kept perhaps the rest of their lives. But there are so many who are there. When I was in federal prison in Big Spring, Texas, there were men there from all walks of life. Many were bankers, there were school teachers, there were other lawyers there, and every profession you can think in terms of was represented in Big Spring, Texas, in that federal prison camp. And most of those men, if not all of them, never thought they would be confined in a penal institution. Now with what has taken place by way of the political arena and all of those individuals who were in high-level positions and never thought they would be going through trial and are possibly being sent to prison, there is fertile ground for people such as myself who are desirous of ministering to people who perhaps would not have given any thought to accepting our Lord and Savior. They would be, and many of whom would be open now to the salvation message. So I'm excited about being able to go in, as I have in the past, going in and out of the penal institutions around the country, state and federal, ministering to men and women who are anxious to hear about the good news of the gospel. With that, Mr. Chairman, I yield.
All right, thank you, sir.
Sorry. I apologize.
No, you're fine. you're fine. I've been called many different names, and that's cool. So, a final call for any questions or comments for Dr. Mosley.
This is Representative David Schmidt from Question 4.
Yes, you have the floor.
Yeah, it's really, really good to hear your voice, and I'm happy that you are feeling better now, and hopefully you stay in good health for many years to come. And with that, I yield the floor.
Thank you, sir.
Anybody else?
You're welcome.
All right. If not, does anybody have any closing comments for tonight?
This is Representative David Schmidt. I decided to bring up a little something about the upcoming total eclipse that's coming up on April 8th. And I guess there's like 7 different towns named Nineveh that are in the path. I decided to throw that out there to everybody, and with that, I yield.
All right. Thank you very much. Anybody else? All right. If not, I would definitely entertain a motion for us to adjourn tonight, if somebody would like to do that.
This is Representative Robin Cox. May I please have the floor?
Yes, you have the floor.
I move that we adjourn for tonight and reconvene on the night of Tuesday, April 16 at 8 o'clock Central Time. I yield.
This is Representative David Schmidt seconding the motion.
All right. We got a motion on the floor for us to adjourn tonight and reconvene on April 16th, and it's been seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
And is there anybody opposed? All right, we'll go ahead and stand adjourned for tonight. And before we go our separate ways, Dr. Mosley, you want to close us in prayer?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We come again in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you for the time that we've been allowed to spend together this evening, hopefully getting an even more clear understanding of these laws of life, including but not limited to the law of captivity, deliverance, and restoration. But we just ask that you will keep us keenly aware of what your word and what you have called us to do in these last days, and allow us to be a blessing to many, bringing those whom you have assigned to us into the kingdom, being children of our Lord and Savior. So as we depart on this evening, we just lift up each home that's represented, each individual who is represented here this evening, And we pray that we be used in the way that you would have us to be used in your kingdom, and that we will complete every assignment that you have given us. We ask for it, receive it, and give thanks for it. In the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Yes. All right. Blessings, everybody, and we'll catch you in a couple weeks.
Yes.
Yep. Good night, everyone. And be safe and be blessed.